Well, in 1907, my grandfather, Jacob Gambala, and he spelled it with a K, J-A-K, left a little town in southern Poland that was part of the Austrian-Hungarian Empire at that time. And he traveled to the other side of the world, to this little town called Chicago. And there in Chicago, he met Zofia. She spelled it with a Z. And in 1911, they got married. Jacob, my grandfather, got a job at Inland Steel in East Chicago, Indiana, which is right by Gary and Hammond. So they moved to East Chicago, living in a little house three blocks from the steel mill. And then they had a lot of children, a lot of children. And two of those kids were twins, Frank and Joseph. My father, Joseph Gambala, born in 1922. Well, they did the best they could. The Lord took Zofia home while my father was still a child, though. So my grandpa Jacob had to work real hard in the mill and do what he can to raise all these kids. And raising kids was a lot harder back then than it is now. It really was. Because back then, kids were known to complain. I heard that's gone now. Or so I read online. So it has to be true, right? No? Someone will correct me on that later. And kids being kids, when things got tough in the Depression, you know, the food wasn't up to standard. My grandpa could do the best he could. And he would tell the kids, my dad remembered this. He sat all the kids down and says, look, I'm sorry I can't feed you the way I used to before the mill closed. And I'm sorry I can't get you new clothes right now. And I'm very sorry I can't even afford to get you toys for Christmas right now. But let me tell you something you could be free about, and that you're free. Be thankful that you're free. Be thankful that you're free. When I grew up in the Austro-Hungarian Empire, we had nothing. We had a house owned by a large estate. We weren't allowed to own our own property. There was no school for us. There were no elections. There was no freedom. You did what the emperor told you to do, Emperor Franz Joseph. You can Google that. And I decided to have any opportunity in life, I had to go someplace where I would be free. So I left there and I came to the United States. Well, again, you know, back then, it was hard to convince the kids. I'm told it's easier now. But back then, it was hard to convince the kids of these truths. But my dad says that I began to understand my father decades later when I was serving in World War II, this is my father speaking. My father went and he landed on Utah Beach on D-Day and was made a captain. And they put him in charge of a little unit. And you can look this up. It was a baking unit. It baked bread. Trust me, it was largely for the officers, but it was a baking unit. And Ford Motor designed this contraption. The best I can describe it is that it was a giant glorified pizza oven. The dough would go on one side and roll down through the oven, then come out the other side bread. And because in wartime you can't waste fuel for things like that, it was fired up by straw. And because it's wartime and diesel and gasoline got to go to the tanks and the trucks and things like that, it was pulled by horses. So my dad, his little unit, went, of course, they were just behind the lines, chugging along as the war went on. And they ended up in what's now southern Belgium, a very hilly region called the Ardennes. Very little farms, because the straw you could buy with the farmer, but it was all woods, no farms. They were running low on straw. So my dad and one of the privates got out a map and figured out that there was a town about a mile and a half away. So they took the backup wagon, where all the supplies were, hooked it up with one horse. That one only got one horse. And my dad and this other guy, and the wagon and the horse, went down the road through the forest and arrived in this little town. And my dad said he'd never forget what he saw. It looked empty. It looked like everyone had left. And then, one by one, he began to see faces peering in the windows, and doors open, little eyes peeking out, and someone peeking out from a barn door. And then, like magic, all these people come running out of the houses and running out of the bars, shouting. But they're not, they're shouts of joy, absolute shouts of joy. You see, the Germans had left the night before. And for the first time in over 4 years, these people were free, absolutely free, by my dad, a private, and a horse. But they were free. And my dad says, I'll never forget the looks on their faces, because he said, that was the first time I understood what my dad was trying to tell me. Freedom is a wonderful thing. Well, thank God we're living in a land where we are free. And on this 4th of July, we must make it a commitment on all of us that we must never let our freedoms be taken away. God bless America.